I wanted to start tonight with, may the Lord be with you. Thank you. And we come together tonight as friends, friends in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our topic tonight is new life. And I hope that through my sharing my experience, my testimonial, as the way that I came to experience new life in my life, that you might be able to relate to that. I want to just go back for just a second over the last couple of weeks and the great experiences that we've had. We started off a couple of weeks ago with, and I love this, I know Jim's not here tonight, but I'm going to say Jimmy. And we started off with Jimmy talking to us about God's tremendous love, the power of God's love that we so many times in our lives reject, not intentionally, but simply because we're important. We see so much importance in ourselves. So as we experienced Jimmy talking about God's love and how powerful God's love is, I just invite us to continue to relish in God's love as we continue this journey through tonight and beyond. And last week, Tom talked to us just a little bit about, he brought up the word complacency. And he did such a beautiful job when he talked about how in his life, he was on cruise. I don't know that he used the term cruise control, but I think that was what I picked up from it. That we just get on cruise control sometimes and we become complacent. You know, everything's good, everything's okay, and God's good, but you know, we're not living, allowing ourselves to be in that presence and recognizing that all that we have comes from God's love. So as we all experience complacency, I'm sure in our lives at times, I ask that we continue to dispel that complacency, to take it off cruise control. The Lord doesn't want us on cruise control. The Lord wants us on high speed toward the Holy Spirit. So, and tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about, as we talk about new life, about a couple other hurdles that we have to come over. One of those being fear. Fear is a very difficult thing, and I'm going to talk more about that and how fear played an important role in my deniance of the Holy Spirit. And salvation, I'm sorry, and surrender. I want to talk tonight about surrender, because if we're truly to experience new life, we got to surrender. That's the biggest thing we have to do. That's probably the biggest hurdle. You know, the biggest roadblock we have in our spiritual journey, or our journey toward new life, life in the Spirit, is ourselves. We're always standing in the way. Amen? We just, you know, we've got it all together. Life is good, you know? Life is not good without God. Life is not good without the Holy Spirit. So we've got to surrender everything that we have, every molecule of our bodies, to the power of the Holy Spirit. So, with that being said, new life. And I like a lot of audience participation when I talk. So, tell me about some of the experiences in new life that we have, or that we've experienced, maybe today, or maybe in the last year in our lives. What are some things that we relate to new life? Anybody? Babies. Birth. New life. Amen. What else? Freedom. Yeah, freedom. Yeah, definitely. That definitely, freedom allows us to experience new birth, rebirth. What else? Anything? Springtime, we're amid springtime. We see the trees, we can almost see the leaves growing right now. Yeah, that life that's coming after we come through the darkness of winter. Yeah. Anything else? Joy. Absolutely. Joy is, yes. Thank you. Well, I didn't hear baptism. And that's what I was waiting to hear. What about baptism? Everybody in here is baptized, right? Okay? Sacramental baptism. The greatest opportunity for new life in our lives. Because what happens when we're baptized? We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into us, flows into us through that sacrament, fills us with the presence that Jesus Christ promised at the ascension. That Holy Spirit that guided Jesus throughout his life, that guided the prophets in the Old Testament. We are filled with that Holy Spirit, you know? But sometimes we don't want to surrender to the presence because we're really smart people. We're intelligent. We're kind and loving. But surrender, see, is not our love. It's not our knowledge. It's the knowledge of God. God knows everything about every one of us. He knows where we've been, where we're going to go. As I always say, He knows every hair on our head. And in my case, it's not very many anymore. However, we have, in that surrender to new life, through the sacrament of baptism, through the sacrament of confirmation, and through reception of the Eucharist, we become Jesus Christ to the world. We recognize that. And if we're going to become Jesus Christ to the world, then we have to allow the Spirit to be our director. We have to surrender to ourselves. And that's a great, great hurdle. I've asked some people to read some scripture readings tonight. The first reading that I'd like to hear from is Matthew 3, 13 through 17. I'm not sure who has it, but Joe? All right. I'll let you use the mic.
All right. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me." Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased."
So I guess if we're going to be like Jesus Christ, we've got to follow the Spirit. So, I'm a cradle Catholic. As a matter of fact, I was baptized in this space. Okay? And my parents brought me here for baptism, as probably many of your parents brought you for baptism. And we were good Catholics. We went to Mass every Sunday. And we went to Mass every Sunday. We went to Mass every Sunday. I think that's all we did. We just went to Mass on Sunday. And Holy Days, of course. So that's how I grew up. You know? And the interesting thing that most of you know about me is I spent most of my life across from the Good Counsel Friary and the Franciscans and Father Jude Milley and many other great priests who, and brothers who were there. And I actually went to church there. That's where I attended Sunday Mass. And there were two components that existed at the friary. There were the charismatic, or excuse me, the strange people, okay? and those Sunday mass goers who went to mass. And those, you know, the interesting thing about those strange people was that, well, they went on Tuesday night too, and they were always praising and worshiping the Lord. And but you know, in my family, those people were strange. Anybody else ever experienced that? You know, so I grew up this way. You know, this is what you know. This is what I thought. This is what I believed. And so, kept going to mass. You know, thank God I didn't have one of those times when I became rebellious and left the church. I always went because I was the faithful Catholic. I always went. My spirituality was based on 1 hour, one day a week. That was my spirituality. And the rest of the time, I was the most important thing in the world. So life goes on. And I get into my early 30s, and I'm like, you know, there's something missing in my life. And I don't know what it is. You know, it was I had a great life. I was married. We had, at that time, 3 children. A house to live in. Everything was good. But there was something missing. And you know, my prayer life started to develop a little bit then. Actually, I could honestly say that with the exception of maybe a meal prayer once in a while, and when I was very little, kneeling beside the bed with my mother at night to say night prayer, that was about it. That's about it. And so here I am. My life's incomplete. There's something missing. And I can't put my finger on it. So, and I have this relationship with Father Jude, you know, and it was an interesting relationship. I know I can look around the room and see some people as well who had interesting relationships with the beauty of Father Jude, possibly someday Saint Father Jude. But he invited me many, many times to the Tuesday night prayer meeting. Many, many times. And I, as I said before, I would never want to engage in any activity with those strange people. You know. And so, coincidentally, this one night, he said, we're going to have, or actually it was on Sunday. He said, we're going to have a healing mass coming up. He said, why don't you think about coming? And so it was interesting because here I am. I'm in my early 30s, you know, and I talked to my parents about it. And are you crazy? Are you crazy? You're considering going to something like that? Well, you know, the rebellious son, even at 30 that I was, I said, wow, that's there you go. That's where I got to be. So I went to the healing mass. And that was the first time I'd ever allowed myself to be in the presence of people praising and worshiping freely, just like we praise and worship. And I felt so good. I felt so good. I felt so good that I had the courage to surrender to me and go up and be prayed over that night. And it changed my life forever. It changed my life. I am the most proud person you could ever be to be one of those strange people. Okay? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. There's no place I'd rather be. So I think you have to look at your own lives and you have to think about what the roadblocks are. You know? My family who loved me to death became a roadblock in my spiritual life. You know, it can be something that intimate and that close to us. You know? So, this gift that we receive at baptism, this gift of the Holy Spirit, how many times do we take that gift, as beautifully wrapped as it was, and just put it on the shelf and just look at it? You know? You see, because in our lives, God calls us, just like the Matthew story that we heard, to accept. We received. There's an indelible mark on every one of your souls from the reception of the sacraments. We receive, but do we live out? Do we tear open that gift? You know? I look around this room and I'm talking to the choir, you see, because this group tears open the gift every day of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we live in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We've got to keep doing that. We've got to keep tearing that gift open every day in our lives. We can't let fear, you know. I think even in my life, based on what my family believed, there was a fear in me. I was afraid of those people, you know? Not that they were going to harm me, but they might convert me. And they did. Amen. I love it. So, we have to ask the question, do we totally desire to turn our lives over to Jesus Christ? That's what Jesus calls us to. Second reading that I'd like to hear comes to us from Acts. Whoever has Acts 1, 1 through 5.
The promise of the Spirit. In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
So we know how the story goes on, right? What happens? Jesus ascends. And the apostles are filled with the Holy Spirit. They have courage. They have boldness. They have no fear. I mean, almost every one of them died a martyr's death, right? No fear. The Holy Spirit has power in our lives. But we have to surrender. We've got to surrender. Every holy day, we say the creed, right? In Mass. Do we listen to the words that we say in that creed? Do I believe in one, in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life? The true life that we are all open to, that we all need to be open to, is that life in the Spirit. The Spirit's there. The Spirit dwells in us. Are we open to the power of the Spirit? Jesus, I don't like the way I am. I've tried to live independently of you. I've tried to run my own life, and I just haven't succeeded. I'm not very loving. I'm not very peaceful. I'm not at all the kind of person that I would really like to be. I'm sorry that I've left you out of my life. I'm sorry that I've hurt so many people and failed so many others, including myself. I don't want to be that way anymore. I ask you to forgive me and heal me. I need you, and I want to share my life with you. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart and share your life with me. I want you to be the most important person in my life. Jesus, show me your face that I might love you. Let me experience your presence and your power in my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, so that you might be the change in my life. Amen. I've got done. Because what happens when we do what we just, the words that we just heard and the prayer that we just prayed, there are benefits to life in the Spirit. Benefits. Who has Isaiah 11:2-3? You want to read from there, Carl? That'd be fine. This.
The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and his delight is in the fear of the Lord. Not by appearance shall he judge, nor by mercy shall he decide.
The gifts, the Isaiah gifts of the Holy Spirit. So what do we know about these gifts? Counsel, knowledge, piety.
You know, the interesting thing is, I used to think that those were earthly things. The reality is, all of those gifts, when we recognize them, bring us closer to the Lord. They're all focused directly on the Lord. It's not earthly knowledge that we seek. It's the knowledge to know that God is who God is. I love to ask this question. Draw a picture of God. You know? The first time I was asked to draw a picture of God, I probably drew a picture of a man. Okay? And now if someone were to ask me to draw a picture of God, there's not enough paper in the world. Our God is so great. Our God is so broad. This is the God that we experience when we accept new life, life in the Holy Spirit. Who has 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11?
There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. To one is given through the Spirit the expression of wisdom. To another, the expression of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing by the one Spirit. To another, mighty deeds. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, variety of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them individually in each person as he wishes.
So what are the gifts that God's given you? The gifts we have are given to share. Share those gifts. God's Holy Spirit. I want to do an analogy right now, a cross-reference between what the Spirit has to offer us and how Satan counteracts that. God's Holy Spirit gives us stillness. Satan rushes us. God's Holy Spirit assures us. Satan frightens us. God's Holy Spirit leads us closer to Him and closer to others. The Satan pushes us away. God's Holy Spirit enlightens us. Satan confuses us. God's Holy Spirit forgives us. Satan condemns us. God's Holy Spirit calms us. Satan stresses us. God's Holy Spirit encourages us, lifts us up. The devil discourages us. Our God comforts us always. Satan just puts worry on our hearts. So here I am, some 20 plus years later, still allowing myself to experience the presence of God every day in my life, not just on Sunday for an hour. When I roll my feet out of bed in the morning, I look straight at the crucifix hanging on the wall on my side of the room, and I say, "Lord, more of you and less of me today." And some days it's a struggle. But the Holy Spirit carries us through. When asked, "When do you pray?" Always. Always. The Lord Jesus Christ is my best friend. He's always there. Anytime I need somebody to talk to. And I like to change the word of prayer to conversation. Prayer is really conversation. Tonight we praise and worship this beautiful song. We're all in conversation with God. I want to close with a prayer tonight. This isn't my prayer. This is Father Becquet's prayer. And I know that he would be happy for me to share this prayer with you tonight. So I just invite you to pray, to close your eyes and allow these words to resonate in your hearts and your minds, that it might permeate your soul and you might be open, free of consolation, free of fear, ready to surrender your life every moment of every hour of every day to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, I come before you this day as your beloved child. I come before you today with faith, because you have promised that you are always with us when we call upon your name. I know you are here present with us. I know your Holy Spirit is right here, right now. I ask you, Father, to send a double portion of the Holy Spirit upon me, like the prophet Elisha, who asked and received a double portion of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want a triple portion of the Holy Spirit. I want a triple portion of the Holy Spirit you received at your baptism. That Spirit you promised me in John 16:3, the Spirit that will always guide me to the truth. Right now, I want that Spirit promised in Acts 1:8, the Spirit that will make me your witness in the world. Lord, I want an inbreak of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want a second Pentecost in my life right now. Come down and fill me, Spirit of truth. Come down. come down right now. Come down, Spirit of Elijah, Spirit of Elisha, Spirit of the prophets, Spirit of Peter, Spirit of Paul, Spirit of the apostles, Spirit of the church, fill me. Mold me and use me to witness to our hurting world. Fill me with your gifts of wisdom, knowledge, counsel, might, understanding, and fear of the Lord. Release upon me now your gift of healing, that I may be your healing hand to a hurting world. Give me your gift of faith, so that I will continue to walk in your path. I need your gift of prophecy, that I may speak to a world dying to hear the truth. Lord, I ask for these gifts, not for my glory, but for your own glory. Empower me, O Holy Spirit, that I may be a faithful witness of your gospel, like Paul, whom you called and transformed. I want you to transform me, that everything I do will be to the greater glory of your name. Lord, I ask you to remove any obstacles in my life that restrict the free flow of your Holy Spirit in me. I surrender my whole life to you right now. Wherever the devil has hold on my life and is limiting your free-flowing power, I relinquish these things right now and yield fully to your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come upon us like mighty thongs of fire, as you did to the apostles in the upper room on Pentecost Sunday. I declare this place I stand right now as the Holy Ghost zone, and ask you, Holy Spirit, to take full and total control. Flow through us right now, O Spirit of the Most High. Flow through us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Flow through every part of our bodies. Allow us to feel your mighty sparks regenerating our lives and renewing us. Come and live in me and flow through all my veins and senses. Spirit of truth, come and share my new life right now. And use me as your agent to minister to other people. I just want to be your servant, and only your servant. I open myself, Holy Spirit, to receive you fully. Come into me now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.